Bishus Rabbi Stein Shalita. I want to thank him very much for his constant help. And in particular, this year he worked very hard to try to update the Marmakomas sheet. We're up to 220 pages, Baruch Hashem. You say, Ad Nebras, and we're already at Messiah Viasrim. So, a new building, a new room, and everything's new. The Torah is also we try to make things new. Ein beis hamedrash b'lo chiddush, but the Torah is fundamentally the same. This series of Shiurim on Bishul is a very, very important series in the sense that perhaps even more than the other topics that are being discussed in this year-long series, it happens in your house every single week. And, the other topics are, you know, rabbis have to know them for sure, but this, the truth is, it's nothing to do with being a rabbi. It's just you have a home, you have a kitchen, you have to know what to do on Shabbos. So it's certainly relevant to everybody without exception. So, as your page one tells you, we're starting to talk about Bishul, and as page 2 and 3 tell you, the second part of the topic is what we'll call Zeros Bishul, which we'll get to later. We're trying to approach it in a logical order, which is that, by the way, not the order in the Gemara. If you're learning Perikir, which is E-Perik about this topic, it starts off with the Xeris and ends up with more of the real Bishul proper. That's Chazal often do things that way, but we're going to try to approach it in the other direction. See page 4 has a Tochen. Tells you what we have here. We have Gemara, we have Rishonim, we have Achronim, and Nispochim. Nispochim is a very important thing that have to do with Shulchan Aruch and other sources. So we're going to start from the very beginning. So we're going to begin with the last quotation in the Gemara, which is page 9, with the Mishnah. Mishnah is the earliest source that we have. Kol shebo b'chamem erev Shabbos, shorn also b'chamem b'Shabbos. V'chol shaloba b'chamem erev Shabbos, medichin also b'chamem b'Shabbos, chutz memuliach hayoshon v'kluyos yispinin shadachosim to igmar malach. And that's the Mishnah, kufem heimed beis. A very, very important Mishnah. Rashi says, "Kol shabo b'chamin kolom hashem is bashel, shon osu b'chamin kedei shiyani moach. Kol shalo b'chamin kolom bosu yovesh ochon osu chai aydei hatchak, medich an osu avlo arminan zeo bishule avlo shorin." What is this telling us, this Mishnah? Telling us two very important things. The first thing it seems to tell us is the principle which was the main focus of our discussion, at least certainly in today's shiur. Ein bishul achar bishul. If it was bo b'chamin me'erev Shabbos, you may then in effect reheat it on Shabbos, and we don't say yachayev because ein bishul achar bishul. Kol shalo b'chamin. So therefore, it's the first time around. So what's permissible? What's not permissible? So you may pour water over it, right? But you may not put it into a pot. That's actual cooking. So this is what we'll be discussing down the road, not today. What we call in our language irui, what you may, whether you or not you may pour hot water over a raw food. And as we shall even discuss briefly today, that's come up a little bit, the distinction in halacha between kli rishon and kli sheni. Kli rishon being a kli which is on the fire, that's the problem. And a kli sheni, which arguably is even less than irui. You mean you're pouring from a kli rishon onto something. Klisheni is you've emptied the water into a vessel, and this is a vessel which is called the klisheni. Is perhaps even more lenient. We'll discuss this thing as we go. So this is the opening line is the Mishnah. Fine. Whenever we see a Mishnah, we have to see how it's codified in the poskim, in the classical poskim, and of course we'll look in the Rambam. The Rambam is the posik, page 31. We have to sometimes turn a little bit sideways, but that's okay. Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tes, Halacha Gimel, halfway down, Hamavashel ala ur davash shebevushel kol tzarko, o davash ein atzorach bishel klal poter. Rambam tells us how it did. Hamavashel ala ur davash shebevushel kol tzarko. This is the principle which we know as ein bishel achar bishel. Okay, so it's codified in the Rambam based on the Mishnah Kufam Heim Beis, ein bishel achar bishel. Interestingly, though, the Rambam uses the words which are not found in the Mishnah, davar shemevushel kol tzarko. In order to qualify for the exemption of ein bishel achar bishel, has to be previously cooked kol tzarko. Is this agreed upon unanimously? Says the Magad Mishnah, no, not everyone agrees. The first wide line, v'das harashva uktsas ha'mefarshim. Shekol shenis bashal kamachal ben drusoi shuv ein bo mishem chiyuv bishul dvar Torah. Now, who is this ben drusoi figure? Right, this sleazy guy is ben drusoi. Ben drusoi is, we'll call him the Jesse James of the Talmud. He was always on the run. He couldn't sit down to a full meal. He was always cooking things not fully cooked. Like how much did he have a chance to cook things? So the Rambam tells us in Halacha Hey, that Nizbashel Kulo Chatzi Bishul is Chayev. So we see that the definition is Chatzi Bishulo. That's what the Rambam says, it's half cooked. And Rashi says it's a third cooked. There's a detail. But Rashba says, here's the fundamental dispute, when do we apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? The Rambam says only if it's a Bishul called Tzarko. And the Rashba says, as long as it has already been half cooked. Okay. Machal ben Dusai. It's interesting further to note that the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, it's a long halacha. He talks about what's called Bishul Bechama, it's Potter. Okay. Chame Tveria, it's Potter. The word Potter has already appeared twice in the Rambam. And now he tells us, V'vashal ur, Tavash Mushal Kol Tzarko, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Then he throws in, O davar she'ein atzorach bishul klal, potter. I have a question against the Rambam. He said potter already three times. Why not a fourth time? Every time it's a different halacha, he says potter. So he should say potter, 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 potter. For some reason, there's only potter, potter, and potter. And he puts these two, davar she'ein atzorach bishul klal tzarko, and davar she'ein atzorach bishul klal, in the same breath, in the same potter. And the question, of course, becomes, why? So, the answer may be as follows. The Rambam is telling us the reason why Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. The reason Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is comparable to the last halacha that he quotes here. Dover she'eino tzorach bishul klal. Doesn't need bishul. If it doesn't need bishul, that means, we'll see some of the details, that the bishul didn't accomplish anything. It doesn't need bishul. Who needs the bishul? So if you don't need the bishul, why should it be chayav on Shabbos? So too, the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is the same yisod. Once it's already cooked, who needs the Bishul? It's already been cooked. Therefore, the Rambam puts these two halachas in this same breath, in the same potter. Not he didn't put a fourth potter in this halach. He says, Mavushul kol tzarko, or Ein Atzorach Bishul klal is potter. Now, of course, the Rambam is l'shitosa. The Rambam says, Mavushul kol tzarko. Ein bishul achar bishul, only if it's already been mavushal called tzarko. That means if it was only half cooked, then we would say yesh bishul achar bishul. Why? Simple. It wouldn't fit into the category of something which doesn't need bishul. If it's only been half cooked, you better believe it needs bishul to get to the stage of fully cooked. And with me so far, I'm just putting these two halachas together, consistent with his particular opinion. Fine. This is assuming that the Rambam understands that Dovah Shein Atzorach Bishul is potter precisely because the Bishul would be unnecessary. We don't really need it. Now, whether this read is correct is a matter of dispute. We have in the very, very end of the Makoros, we have privilege to have the whole Mishnah Brura printed in these Simona that we're learning. And in this, on page 186, the Shaar HaTzion quotes this Rambam. It's circled, Kuf Yud Aleph on the bottom. Hinei HaRambam Perek Tes Halacha Gimel Kosav. The Mavashal Dovash Mavushal Kol Tzorko O She'ein HaTzorok Bishul Klal Potter. That's our Rambam. Says the Shaar HaTzion. Hu Poshlani Yaz Daiti. Tahainu Dovah She'einu Mishtabeach Klal Al Yedei HaBishul. It does not get any better as a result of the Bishul. Ula Afuki, what's it coming to exclude? Peiros V'chia Gavna, fruits and the like, Shu Mishtabeach Al Yedei HaBishul. Fruits will become better when they're cooked. Now, obviously, if he's excluding fruits, someone might have disagreed with him. We'll see soon. Potato. Before we go further, let me just explain what the other opinion is. The other opinion is a suffix. I'm skipping a line in Shaar HaTzion. Umatzasi bebirkei Yosef shemistapek b'zeh ichayev min haTorah omer derabbanan. What's the question? The question. Let's take for example, someone cooks an apple. We call it a baked apple, but that's a detail. You take an apple and you cook it. Now, apples are eaten in a raw state. Nonetheless, in many circles, baked apple is a delicacy. You've accomplished something, making it into a better food by cooking it. Would you be chayv according to the Rambam or not? The Shaar HaTzion says absolutely yes. He is quite clear it's pasha to him. But although it's pasha to him, it's not pasha to the Birkei Yosef. He's not sure. What's pshat in the Rambam? Remember, the Rambam said if it's davash enatzorach bishul, you're potter. So an apple is enatzorach bishul. I had an apple for lunch today. I'm not sure if you did. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. It's supposed to be very healthy food. But I did not have a baked apple. I had a plain old fashioned fresh apple from the Kodesh Baruch Hu straight to me. No one tampered with it. Delicious. I mean, small d. Wasn't an apple. The kids, it was a very good apple. And I don't see why must you cook an apple? What do you need it for? Says the Mishavru, I don't care. Yechayev anyway. Push it to me, Yechayev. And the Birkei Yosef is not so sure to Yechayev. Maybe it should really be put. It seems that according to the Rambam, if the Mishavru is right, the Shaar HaTzion is right, is that the definition of bishul is you improved something. So if you improve it, you'd be chayv. The fact that you could have eaten the apple in the raw state is immaterial. So davar she'en atzorach bishul means the bishul doesn't really improve it. And ein bishul acha bishul is similar, since you already cooked it the first time around, and you cooked it called tzorka, remember, not like the rashba. So therefore, the second cooking didn't really accomplish that much. Fine. There are individual achronim who hold like one side of the Birkei Yosef, that indeed you would be potter if you cooked an apple. Among them, the Mekeves HaMishnah on that very Rambam. And he gives an interesting comparison to what's called Bishul Akum. You may have learned in Hichos Bishul Akum that Nechel Chai, if something can be eaten in a raw state, then it's not subject to the restrictions of Bishul Akum. And he says, when the Rambam is over here in our context, davar she'en atzorach bishul, he means nechal chai. So if you cook an apple, you would be potter, according to the Rambam, as per the Mekeves HaMishnah. That's one sad in the suffix of the Birkei Yosef against the Shaar HaTzion. What's the Mekeves HaMishnah's proof? Interesting proof. Its proof is as follows. Look, the Rashba said that even if you cook something halfway, and I subsequently cook it on Shabbos all the way, I'm pot. We just saw the Rashba quoted in the Magad Mishnah. Fine. Kal v'chomer, Rabosai, something which is completely edible. I'm not a bandit. I wasn't eating on the run, and someone's going to run after me from the policeman. And I had a raw apple for lunch today. So if I cooked something which only a bandit would eat, it's halfway cooked. I'm potter, as the Rashba said, kal v'chomer, if I cook an apple, which even law-abiding citizens eat in it in the raw state. So certainly I should be potter. So writes the Merkabes HaMishnah. Is this a good Kal V'chomer? Not necessarily. Obviously, when the Rashba interpreted Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul, the Mishnah Kuf Mem Hei, had a different look than the Rambam had. The Rambam tells what it means is you didn't change anything, you didn't accomplish anything. But according to the Rashba, you obviously did accomplish something. Afal Pikein, you are potter, because it already had been cooked earlier. The Kamachal Ben Drusoy had been cooked halfway. So we can make the following suggestion. It's a lumdisha dispute between the Rambam and the Rashba. According to the Rashba, Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul, after a halakhic bishul, once it had a halakhic bishul, you can't be chayav for it if you cooked it a second time, even if you're making improvements by moving it up from half cooked to fully cooked. According to the Rambam, it's not so much a halakhic, it's really more of a factual exemption. You didn't accomplish anything. Melechas Machshav, you have to accomplish something. You accomplished very little because it was already cooked fully before Shabbos, so therefore you would be potter. That being the case, something which was never cooked, and you cook it according to the Rashba, I think for sure you would be chayiv. The opposite of the Merkabes HaMishnah. Merkabes is a Kal V'chomer. If I cook something which is half cooked, I'm potter. Kal V'chomer, an apple which is perfectly edible, no Kal V'chomer, but pirch on the Kal V'chomer. The half-cooked chicken was half-cooked. And if someone would cook it halfway on Shabbos, he'd be chayiv, as we saw before in the Rambam. So you're not going to make the second guy chayiv as well. But the raw apple, no one's touched it yet. So therefore, according to the Rashba, I would have said, you don't apply the principle of Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul at all. And therefore, even according to the Rambam, I would say that you wouldn't apply the principle of potter, of Ein Tzorach Bishul. Ein Tzorach Bishul means it accomplishes nothing, like Bishul Achar Bishul. Here it accomplishes something, it makes it a better delicacy from a baked apple is fancier than a raw apple. I thought you would really be, we'd really be chayv. Comes out as a fundamental machlokas, perhaps, with the sheet of the news we showed. According to the Rashba, definition of Bishul is that you are cooking something. And what is Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? That once it already was cooked, halachically, then you cannot be chayav a second time. According to the Rambam, it's more matter of fact. Once it's already been cooked factually, kol tzarko, so you didn't accomplish anything. So far, so good. Bosai, we had mentioned earlier, when we read the Rambam, it was sort of in passing, that you cook something in the sun, you're potter. The sun, or what's called toldos chama, that could be a reflection of the sun, you would be potter. What would happen in the following case, Rabbi Osai? A person cooks something in the sun, and now, after cooking it in the sun, he decides he's going to cook it on the fire. Should we or should we not apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? That's a question. So you have the Shulchan Aruch, the regular Shulchan Aruch, now not discussing the Mishnah Berurah. You have almost the entire Shulchan Aruch that we are learning in the back. This is a classical Shulchan Aruch. And on the bottom is the sefer called the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim, as you know, is a super commentary on the Mogen Avraham and the Taz. Here, the Prima Gadim analyzes an interesting question. This is in Shin Yud Ches. That's our simon. Shin Yud Ches. Let's see if we can find it quickly.
Page 144.
Thank you. You found it ahead of me. 144. The very bottom line. Nistapakti bishul b'chamei tveria v'tol dos chama, which is essentially the same. Im mevashal achakach b'chamei ur im chayov. Interesting suffix. V'yeroe de potterhu, the kvon is spoiled by bishulo. The yeshemut of the garment. He thinks that although there was no halachic bishul in the sense that if a person would cook in the sun, he would not be chayav on Shabbos. Who cares if it's a halachic bishul or it's a habishul that happened by automatically. It happened. Now, I would say about this suffix, according to the Rambam, it should be potter, because ein bishlach habishul is really a mitzias, and since it was cooked already, it should be potter. According to the Rashba, it's far from clear. Not so clear according to the Rashba. Maybe a potter, because after all, you didn't really accomplish much. The Rashba said you chayev only if you accomplish something, plus it should not have had a previous bishul. But not so clear. Maybe according to the Rashba, anything is considered to be an accomplishment. And the only ptur is if there was a halachic bishul, which would be mechayev somebody preceding this bishul. It's not completely clear to me according to the Rashba, but according to the Rambam, I would say certainly should be potter, as the Prima Gadim thinks. Not sure Yeroh, he thinks. This could be relevant, because maybe it's even mutter, according to the Tzad in the Prima Gadim. When it comes to, Rabbo says, anybody here ever cooks in the sun? Nah, nobody. Is anybody here who cooks in the sun, which is perhaps the equivalent of the sun, in halachic terms? Correct. Microwaves. Microwaves, there's no fire. The contrast is between Bechama and Ba'ur. Ur means a fire. Microwaves, you well know, there's no fire. Pashup Shad is that a microwave should be considered like a Mevashal Bechama or Betoldos Chama. This happens. We're both by a show of hands. Who in this room, or the individual in charge of cooking in your home in this room, cooks, not reheats, but cooks with a microwave? I mean, everyone reheats in microwaves. But they cook, right? Let's say they made a kugel, for argument's sake. Is that possible? Can you make a kugel in a microwave? Yes?
Why not?
Not convection, you got convection. Straight microwave. What do you cook in a microwave? Give me an example. What do you cook there?
Corn?
Yeah. Good, corn. So you cook corn in the microwave. Fine. I cook corn in the microwave on Friday, the covered Shabbos Kodesh. And now, Shabbos morning, I want to reheat this corn. Okay? So I'll put it on a fire in a permissible fashion. Details to follow. Is that okay or not okay? That's this Prima Gadim. I think Kohen the Rambam should certainly be okay. Kohen the Rambam, I'm not sure. I wouldn't do it. I'd be scared to take a chance. I'm scared. It's a Shavu D'Oraisa, if you think about it. It's a little scary. So this is a shadow we have in our regular kitchens. We don't cook in the sun, but microwaves are the equivalent of the sun. Fine. Let's go back to our Rambam, just to see something very interesting. That one little page of Rambam has so many things packed into it. It's page 31. Halacha Vav. Hamatich echad mimine matchis kolshu o mechamemes hamatchis hachetayos agachelas reza tolos mevashel. Okay? So you melt metal. You put in the fire that melts. Yechayev. Rambam. Feresh Rambam. Where do you get it from? So the Magen Mishnah says, it's a Yerushalmi. It's a Gemara Yevamos. Mali Bishul Psila. Mali Bishul Samamonim. So Yechayev. Very nice Yechayev. After all, Mevash. Good. Mevash. So there's a big question which is raised by the Egle Tal. Turn to Egle Tal, page 50-something, 53-7. Let's see if we can find this one.
Okay. 53.
Okay, I saw it in 53. One second. I've got to see if I can find it. Egle Tal is bothered by the following question. Every time you melt metal, by definition, it should be considered bishul achar bishul. Bishul achar bishul. Every single case is bishul achar bishul. Why? Because I'm trying to find it. Page 53. Here it is, it's circled, page 53. He quotes the Rambam. Osvav quotes the Rambam. He says he says like he quotes the Gemara in Yevamos. Shabbos, fine. All kinds of stories. Here's the following question. It's about the 10th line or so in the Ozva. Ulechol das haposkim de bishalach habishal afil b'davalach. We get to davalach later today. Okay? V'yod de matchis yavishu. So the question becomes, so how do you know it's also the quote? It's a kosov of Sreifas Bas Kohen. What's going on? Why should it be a problem over here? This is follows. Very important yourself. Elavada, after the brackets, about 10 lines from the bottom. Hadavar borer, the dafka bishar bishul, afshenitzdane, mikomakov bishulo olov. You cook chicken and it cooled down, it's still cooked chicken. It's not raw chicken. Mashenken bimatchis, shatachoso hu bishulo. The definition of cooking when it comes to metal is melting it. Uchshachoso miskasha ozole bishulo. Uchshachoso maticho shenis. Mischayev. Very important yisod here in the Yagle top. An important yisod. Very important yisod. Now, according to the Rambam, we understand very well. You're accomplishing something now again, because the original bishul, even though it happened, is history. According to the Rajva, it's not so simple. The Rajva said, Ein bishul acha bishul is a halacha. And here it actually was cooked. So we should say, arguably, Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, even after it was completely hardened. The answer is, presumably, the Rashba agrees that if it's completely eliminated, the original Bishul process, we should apply the principle that you are Chayev. The only time that there's an exception to the rule is if the original Bishul is still, at least to some extent, there. Not enough that you actually did a halachic Bishul, but it has to still be around. Otherwise, it's just, we'll call it ancient history, and gone and forgotten. And you notice that the Egle Talon's discussion made reference to Bishul Acha Bishul B'Davar Lach. So that is our main topic for right now. Bishul Acha Bishul B'Davar Lach. We're now starting the main part of today's shiur. This issue is addressed in the Rishonim. You don't find it beferish in the Gemara. It's addressed in the Rishonim. And we will take a look in the Rush, okay? The very beginning, page 10 or so, where the Rush begins. Well, this comes up, the Rush in the third parak of Masechta Shabbos. Okay, what page is it? It's page 13. Page 13. In Siman Yud Aleph, quotes Shitas Rashi, based on a certain Gemara earlier on in the Masechet of Lamed Dalet, Gzeira Shema Yartiach. So Rashi's afraid. Let's take a look at the beginning of Yud Aleph. Rashi Pirish Gzeira Shema Yartiach, Kedera Shenitztanana. Aha! If the soup cooled off, you're going to want to reheat it. Says the Rosh on the fifth line of Siman Yud Aleph, with a small lamed is. Lamadnu sha'af betavshil she'nizbashil v'nitztanim shayach be'bishul kevin she'yesh bo mashke. I am Mishnah. We start with a Mishnah. Mishnah ha'am Bishul. No. Oh, darminan. Kol she'bo b'chamin b'lifnei ha'shabbos shonos b'chamin b'shabbos haynu dover yovish. Go and turn the gulta the Rabbi Abba anaf kuf memhei. The example chosen in the Gemara is a chicken that's Yavesh, and he tries to bring a riot to the Rashi. Rashi's right, Rashi's wrong, trying to bring riots. Does everybody agree with this? No, not everybody agrees with this principle of Yesh Bishalach Abishal B'Davalach. Earlier in Siman Yud, the Rosh had suggested not that way. The Rosh said in the end of Siman Yud, okay. We'll get to that much later. The 2 days here in the Rosh, whether Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul Davalach or not. Okay? Or not. How do we paskin la halacha? So the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. The Shulchan Aruch is machmir. The Shulchan Aruch says, in Shinil Chesiv Dal, we'll come to it later, that this it comes to a tavsha, which means davalach, yesh bishalach habishal. What's the lambda shashayla here? What would you say? We already saw that letal, a sniff of this. The definition of bishal b'davalach is what's critical over here. If the definition of davalach, bishal b'davalach, is similar to the definition of bishal b'davayovich, you take a chicken, you have a raw chicken, and now you cook the chicken. It's a whole different chicken. It's, it tastes different, it's soft, it's all different. So too, let's take chicken soup. So you take a chicken, you take water, you put it in a pot, you cook it for an hour, and then all of a sudden you have chicken soup. It's delicious. Just as if you take a chicken and put it in the refrigerator, you haven't canceled the cooking of the chicken, it's still cooked. So you take the chicken soup, put it in the refrigerator, you haven't canceled the cooking of the chicken soup. So now when you want to reheat them, be it the chicken or the chicken soup, it should be mutter. Ein bishalach abishal. However, you get an impression that the other view, that of Rashi, that yesh bishalach abishal b'davalach, has a totally different understanding of what it means to cook liquids. Namely, it's not so much the cooking process, it's really the what? The what? Let's hear it. The what? Heating process. Excellent. The heating process. It's a heating process. If it's a heating process, once it cools down, what phrase should we borrow from the Egle Tal? Three-word phrase. Ozle bishule. He says it himself, right? And then the next line. When it comes to metal, ozle bishule. We should say the same thing when it comes to liquids. Ozle bishule. So, of course, in analyzing this, we go back to the Rambam. Back to the same Rambam, page 31. The Rambam, in his original definition, the very beginning of Hilchos Bishul, tells us as follows. Halacha Aleph. He calls it Ofer. Of course, Ofer is the name of the Malacha in the Mishnah. See the word the pass. Echad Ofer sapas o mevashel samachol o asavavonim o amechamim esamayim hakol inyan echadu. Now, Bosai, if I had to stop you right now, if it's right over here, stop. Now, this is the same question we raised before. What's the definition of cooking liquids, the Fiyar Amba? Is it the same as cooking chicken, or is it completely different? What would you say? You say it's the same? Okay. Anyone else? Yeah?
Water will be different from chicken, because he says you're making the water hot.
Very good. That's what I would have said. When it comes to chicken, and it comes to even dye, he used an expression, hamavasha. When it comes to water, he suddenly changed his expression and used the word, hamachamim. He should have said, hamavasha l'samayim. That's nothing wrong with that. That's pure Hebrew. Hamavasha l'samayim. You can cook water. Why did he change his expression to heating water?
But who says chicken soup? Meaning, he doesn't mention chicken soup at all.
Okay, very good. Very good. Slowly. However, even before we get to that, even within this Rambam, it's not completely clear. Because you look in the Rambam at the end, same halacha. Shira mechamim es hamayim kedei lirchotz ben eivar kotam. Shira mevashal samamonim v'shiruyin ledava shemevashin also lo. Okay, give you various shiurim. So it could be the only reason why he sets aside mayim as opposed to the tap, ha'ofa kegrogu eschayim. The regular food is cooked grogers. And water, it's a different shear, because water is not only a food, it's also used for bathing. And some amonim is for other things. So maybe that's why he introduced it as a separate entity, only because of the shear shabo. Not that it's a really completely different action. But your point is very well taken. Who said that all liquids are created equal? Maybe water has one din, other liquids have a different din. This is pointed out by the Prima Gadim in Simen Reish Nun Dalet. This is in the Shulchan Aruch that we had before. Let's see if we can find it fairly quickly. 120 something, maybe. Reish Nun Dalet. 132. The Prima Gadim, Rabosai, look inside, please. Eshel Avraham, Reish Nun Dalet, Aleph. The Prima Gadim says as follows. And about the sixth line. Vavua the lach tzone nesh po bishalach abishal. The yavesh eno bishalach abishal. Mahu lach and mahu yavesh. What's called solid? What's called liquid? Halfway down. Ulechora nira. The dafka mayim v'yayin v'shemen. Shein ha'esh pol bo lach shel kol kach. The nechal chai gam kein. V'habishul hu hachimum. Hilkoch kosher nitztare yesh bo bishul. Mashenken shuman avaz u'mol avosar. Sheyefsh lechol kiyim ha'yidei bishul. Su af nitztanein ein bo bishul. On his own, he'd make your distinction and say that yesh bishul lach ha'bishul b'lach is only water. Because water, the definition of cooking is heating. Because after all, you can drink cold water. And you know, once then, and when you cool it down, it's back to the same cold water. So that's it. But it wouldn't apply to chicken soup. You can't say that you take chicken, makes chicken soup. Now I'll cool it down. I'm back to a chicken and water. No, it's chicken soup. But then he says, towards the end, "Alem istimas hapos kemashma kol shutzol v'lach af yesh b'mishem bishlach b'mishem b'nitzdani." There you go. That's what he would have said. But unfortunately for him, the poskim don't seem to accept this distinction. Now, so it's not completely clear. Not completely clear. It could be that water is unique, as you said before. Water is different. But if water is different, this gives us a certain amount of pause. If you recall, we said a while ago, one of our first sources was that Shara Tzion, Shin Yud Ches Sivkotn Kuf Yud Dalet. Please go back there to where we came from. Page 186. He's going to try to prove his point that if you make an improvement in the food, you're going to be chayav, irrespective of the fact that you could have consumed it in a raw state. V'teida, talo muchach b'gemara Shabbos ha'memem v'beis, d'mayim yesh bo mishum bishul, v'ray mayim gam kein shosa oso k'shuchai. How do you like that? How can the Merkevah's admission be right when he said that nechol chai, there's no chiv of bishul d'oraisa, water is a chiv of bishul d'oraisa? Rambam said so. The Gemara said so, he claims. Brackets. V'yesh litchos k'tzas. D'mayim lo odiv k'mo peiros. Ayim agon avram sof reish nadal d'chat terutza. Maybe water is different. Maybe. Is it different or is it not different? If it's different, then the water proves nothing for general other foods. This question whether water is different comes up much earlier in Simen Shin Yud Ches here in the Mishnah Berurah. Take a look if you will at the very, very beginning, the opening Mishnah Berurah in Simen Shin Yud Ches, back to page 177. So he quotes the Rambam, the very opening line. Echad mevashel samachal samanim o mechamem esamayim. Mechamem esamayim. Okay, so this he points out that if you're mechamem mayim, you would be chayav. And he puts in something very interesting in brackets. Ratzaloma, after mayim roar l'shtia below bishul, doesn't make a difference. Kevan the mishtar be'ach hayadei habishul. This is exactly what the Shara Tzion said later on in Kuf Yud Ches. He says exactly the same thing over here. So very good. From water, we're going to prove a particular point. Okay? Fine. So he equates water with other foods. If water would be different, because water is a unique status, water is mechamem, not mevashel, then you couldn't really bring a proof from water to anything else. Now, the truth is that even the original assumption of the Shara Tzion, that you chayav on water, is not completely clear. He quoted it from a Gemara, yes, on Daf Mem Amud Beis, and that is true. The Gemara does say that it's prohibited to cook water. However, It never says in that Gemara, you're chayef. It says it's asur. Asur could mean potentially potter aval asur. Asur midirabonon. Yes, there is a Gemara in Beit Salam Adala, the famous Gemara. One put in the water, one put in the food. Kulum chayavim mishum mevashel. However, if you look in the Tiferes Yisrael, this Kalkelas HaShabbos, this is intro to Masechet HaShabbos Mishnayos. He says, well, maybe you're only chayav there because you're mevashel the soup, but not if you're mevashel the water. Now, that's against the Rambam himself, HaMecham HaMesamayim, but at least in Svara, he may be right. It's interesting, the Gemara Daf Mem Amud Beis, let's take a look at it for a minute to see that's the Gemara that the Sharatzion is quoting. It's worth looking inside to see the Gemara. Mem Amud Beis would be on page 6 or something. 6. The Gemara says, with the bracket is, Echad Shemen V'Echad Mayim Yad Soledes Bo Osir and Yad Soledes Bo Mutter. Never said Chayim. It said, oh, sir, the Mishmur is assuming it would be Chayef. But what's fascinating is the cut-off point there is Yad Soledesbo. It's our first introduction to this concept. By a show of hands, how many people here learned Yeridaya? Tarubas, you know, for the regular smicha, I'm sure most of you by now. So in Yeridaya, you come up with Yad Soledes all the time, right? For Tarubas, in the kitchen. Yeah, the definition of heat is Yad Soledesbo. So that's found over here in this Gemara, in the context of Bishul B'Shabbos. Interesting. I would have said that the shiur should really be, we had before, machal ben drusoy, mevushal kol tzok, what's the atzel lettuce bowl? Perhaps this is a bit of a proof, the definition of cooking when it comes to water is what? Mechamim. So when it comes to the halachic definition of chom, is yatzel lettuce bowl. Interesting. Now, this leads us to a very important analysis of the Ran on Masechta Shabbos. This is Ran in the beginning of the fourth parak. It's probably page 28 or something, I'm guessing. Somewhere near there. Rav Rabbeinu Yonah, page 27. Rav Rabbeinu Yonah. The last paragraph on page 27. Kosev Eloshen Hazen. Umichshala gedola tachas yad tasaah shetomnim kumkum shomayim chamen litim b'toch hakedera b'shabbos shetavshel mitstamek. So they want to put water into the chalt. Upa'amim, so it shouldn't dry out. Sheechad ein yad tzoledes bo v'ha'acha yad tzoledes bo umispashel ze b'ze v'nimsu mevashlin b'shabbos. Gvalt. People are cooking on Shabbos. When they're pouring water into the chalt. Either the water cooks the chalt or the chalt cooks the water. Either way. Vafilu im shneem yatzoledes bohem. Ikem adama birushalmi. Irui eno kikli rishon. Which will be the subject of later discussion. Meanwhile, if you pour it all out of the pot, it no longer can have the status of a kli rishon. Ukshema'arin amayim. You pour the water out of the pot. Li alter sheyotzum in a kli. Ava pishem roskim, it's 212 degrees. Posak koach resichosim levashal kedin klisheni halachically shenim bevashal, no matter how hot it is. And then when it lands in the pot, umizbashim betoch kli rishon, when it falls in, umayim bevushalim and poskos resichosim yeshem eshem bishul elad varavza. Wow. So the Rabbi Yona says it. And Iran's not so sure. Who said? I don't know what the difference between Mayim B'Vashol and B'Vashol Achim. Who said it's Yesh B'Shach B'Shach B'Dav Alach? You know who said it? Rabbi Yonah said it. The Iran doesn't believe it. Rabbi Yonah said it. Not only that. Rabbi Yonah didn't just say, all right, it cooled off. We saw before the Eglei Tal said it cools off. Ozle B'Shula. It didn't cool off. It's boiling hot. It's a halachic definition. Water is either less than Yatzel Lettuce Bo, which is not so cold, but it's halachically considered to be cold. Or, according to some, even if it's more than Yatzel Lettuce Bo, but it's flying through the air, it's out of the original pot, so it's lost its status of Chamev Kli Rishon, and when you reintroduce it to that status, this itself can be a chiyuv of bishul, acha bishul b'davalach. Okay? So it's a halachic definition of osa. What else do you see from Rabbeinu Yonah? That it works, sorry, contrary to the prima gadim, on water and on soup. Because mizbashin zeh mizeh. So if the water cooks the soup cooks the water. Either way, there's a chiyuv of bishul, achar bishul. So you see from the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay? Of course, the question becomes, soup? Soup is not like water. You put soup in the fridge, it doesn't become separated to chicken and water again. It's still considered to be chicken soup. Why is the shiur yatzah lettuce bowl, even with respect to soup? He used yatzah lettuce bowl on soup. Apparently, Rabosai, there are, to be used our expression, tzvei dinim. There are two halachas when it comes to cooking soup. One of them is the cooking, and one of them is the heating. We say yesh bishulach al bishul b'davalach. It's a slight misnomer. We should really say yesh chimum achachimum b'davalach. Because from the perspective of bishul, which applies to a solid chicken, it wouldn't apply. It's only the heat dimension of the chicken soup. That's the pshat. That's the pshat. This is the pshat of the Rabbeinu Yonah. Is it quoted lahalacha? Well, the Shulchan Aruch does. And take a look, if you will, in Reish Nun Gimel Sif Dalet. This is, we'll see it better in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah can be found over here in page 170. Last line. Yesh Limchos. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's Lashon. Biyara Noagin Lahatmin Mibod Yom Kumkum Shomayim. Chamin v'nosin also l'socha k'deira b'shabes k'shatav shemitztamek. Should be protest against it. Let's have a protest rally against it. Don't you dare do this thing. Says the Mishnah Berurah, not so fast. The last three lines of page 17 Mishnah Berurah, the Achronim say, v'mash yivor l'kamon shen yitchesiv tezva b'hago di'ana noagim kaposkim timlo nitztanein l'gamrei. Afil b'davalach ainu mishum bishul oat. Im kain, afilim echad yatz ain echad yatz aleres bov yischam edit harovis kam kain shari. Ma'isim b'chol yom, we do this. Ma'isim b'chol yom, we don't follow this. Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is not halacha l'ma'isim. He holds yesh bishul achad bishul b'davalach completely, and we who follow the Ramos compromise, which we'll analyze momentarily, have a different approach to this. What exactly is this compromise of the Ramos? Strange compromise. Let's turn our attention to it in Shin Yud Ches Tesvav, which is page 186. Again, we were there before. Ramo. The Mechab is very cautious in Sif Tesvav. The Rambam's definition. It's dry. There's no liquid, no soup. Then and only then. Because he holds that it's solid. Had it been liquid, it'd be no good. The Mechaba Paskins, Yesh Bishal, Achar Bishal, V'Dover Lach. Ramo. V'afilun etztanein kvar. Even if it's done in kvar, that the mechaber is paskening, Mr. Ruas leforish divrei mechaber bo to marry ben it's done in olahochi lo hitir ela biyavish, because it cooled down but the biyavish, and also when it comes to a double lach. Yesh again. So what will come out if it's yavish and it's done in, it's okay. If it's lach and it's done in, it's not okay. Says the Rambam, v'yesh mekilin loma. The Chol She'ein Nosto, next page 187. Al Gabi Ho'esh, for technical reasons we'll get to later on. Rak Samachlo. Afilu Nitztanin Mutter. Hamagid Perek. I can't read the correction here. It's the Magid Mishnah. In Perek Chavez, I should say. V'nagu Lahokil. So far so good. Bezeh. Im Lo Nitztanin Legarme. Kamoshka Safti Reshnan Gim. A compromise view. If it's fully cooled down, then we say yesh bishalach abishal b'davalach. If it's not fully cooled down, then we say ein bishalach abishal b'davalach. Like all good compromises, we don't understand them. The extreme positions are always easy to explain. Either you say ein bishalach abishabalach. The definition of cooking by liquids is just same as salads. It's cooking. Once it's cooked, it's cooked. You can't be chayv a second time. Or you could say the other way around. Cooking means heating. If it means heating, we understand very well what you should say the principle of yesh bishalach abishal b'davalach. However, the Rambam made a compromise. If it's cooled down fully, then yesh bishalach abishal b'lach. If not, not. What's that all about? What's the nature of this compromise? He makes a reference to what he said in Siman Reish Nun Gimel. Let's take a look, Rabbi Osai, in Mogan Avraham, Reish Nun Gimel, Lamed Zayin, which can be found on page 129. Okay, that's the last three narrow lines. Ramah kosav stam osalom ala akum lahachim. You can't tell a goy to heat something on Shabbos. Now the general principle is that you cannot tell a goy to do a d'oraisa. The Rabbanus is some wiggle room. Why does he say it? Says the Magen Avraham. Svirle the ledidan the svirlan the osur lechamimo mid the oraisa osalom agam ken liakum. Look at that. So he says, if you tell a goy, it's prohibited. Because for me to reheat soup myself would be a d'oraisa. I cannot tell a goy to do something which for me would be a d'oraisa. And remember, he's saying pshat in the Ramah. Within the Ramah. Wow. Within the Ramah. Fascinating. Is it really a d'oraisa? Had the Magen Avraham know that it's so? So if you look over here in the Ramah, he talks about the following case, a funny case, a tricky case, that a Yisrael puts a pot of food near a cool oven, and the guy is going to come and heat the oven, which is permissible, because it's for prevent illness. I can ask a guy to do a malacha to prevent illness. And we, Yidalach, who love cholent, what we're going to do? Oh, I sense an opportunity here. The guy, I'm allowed to call the guy to put on the central heating or to put on the fire, the tanner. Otherwise, I'm going to get sick, or maybe little kids are going to get sick. Hey, once he's doing it, let's put the cholent there to get it nice and hot. This is the shtickle that used to be pulled in Europe on a regular basis. That's what the Mechabit, the Rambam describes. Okay? And this issue did not begin in the Ramah. No. It started with the Trumas HaDeshen. Ramah very often cites these halachas from the Trumas HaDeshen, a very important early source. In the Shulchan Aruch, page 130, the bottom line, Trumas HaDeshen, Chelek Aleph, Simen, Samech, Vav. Fortunately, we have Trumas HaDeshen in its original form on page 45. Let's see what he says. Every word counts. In the last paragraph, different cases, it's cooled down, it didn't cool down. Okay? So he says that if it's cooled down, it's a problem. We remember the last few lines of this Truma Tadeshin Shuva. This last, Im Kain, Benino Didan, Kevan di Odea Shashivcha Mevaeres Satanah. That's about to happen because she does it every morning to make the people hot and warm and shouldn't get sick. Bivadai who kenos in Amanas Levashlo. When I put the soup there before the non-Jewish woman lit the fire, I knew what I was doing. I'm putting it in order that it should be cooked or be heated. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, V'av malachai kemo ha'otza. Whoa. Av malacha. Wait a minute, the soup was cooked already. But the Pasha Pshat in the Trumas HaDeshen is, it's an av malacha. It's an av malacha. Well, we shouldn't get too carried away with that. He says, "Kemo ha'hotza, kemo ha'hotza." Hotza. Do we have hotza d'oraisa? You just finished 6 weeks of erevin. Is there hotza d'oraisa in the times of the Trumas HaDeshen? They didn't have any major highways in his day. So the pashtus is that the Chachmei Ashkenaz at least felt there was no which is around the Raisa, then she should read, but the whole story. So it means to Kamoho Tzah, which is probably the Rabbanon, you can't be 100% sure that Av Malacha means an Av Malacha Daraisa, although the simple read is that way. Okay, so the question now becomes, if there's a possibility of a Daraisa, the Pashup Shah, if it's cooled off completely, why is it permissible for us to reheat the food in a case in which it hasn't cooled off completely? There is a little bit of heat still left. It's what the Rambam called lo nitztanein legamrei. So the Truma Sedeshin discusses this as well. What's the nature of the heter? Why should it be permissible? Okay, so let's take a look over here in the Lashon of the Truma Sedeshin. Second, trying to find it. Take a look at the towards the beginning. He quotes a series of Rishonim, and one of them is the Mordechai. Mordechai is in Simin Tuf Nun Vav. How's he quoted? Regilim bechupos lechasos achamim ben esarim lemocha bon avodim nochim mechamim osa im lo yiskaru kokach dugmas macha ben drusoi. Sure. What does that mean? What do you mean dugmas machal ben drusoi? What kind of expression has been dugmas machal ben drusoi? What do the words mean? So he quotes the Ifrim of Mordechai. Let's see if we can find this Mordechai. I'm not sure if it's here or not. I'm not sure. Hold on. I'm afraid this Mordechai is not here. Okay, we have something for the next pack, next time. Tuf Nun Vav. Didn't make it in. Okay. But the Lashon of the Mordechai is, Im Ruya Sheyachal Belo Chimum, Kemachal Ben Rusoi, it's okay. Okay? It should be Ruya. I think he quotes all these Rishonim who have similar phrases. I read it from the Mordechai, quotes Agos Maimini, Ruya Lachila, Dugmas Tamachal Ben Rusoi, then it's okay. What do you see from all this? At first glance, you get an impression. They're like the Rashba. Rabosai. The Rashba is the one who said that once it hit Machal Ben Drusoi, then we apply the principle of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. The fact that, I mean, even from what you see yourself here in the Truma Sedeshin, without the exact quotations, he says, Dugmas Machal Ben Drusoi Shari. Wait a minute. I thought only the Rashba holds Dugmas Machal Ben Drusoi. The Shulchan Aruch didn't say that. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, you have to have what we call mevushal kol tzarko in order to invoke the principle of ein bishul achar bishul. That being the case, we're going to run into a few problems. Number one, the smag is referred to over here, where it says footnote 2. The smag is included amongst the Rishon. The smag, Mordechai, Agos Maimini, all say this cooler. However, if you look in the smag carefully, you'll find, as often is the case, that the smag follows the Rambam. And the Rambam says, Rabosai, the Rambam says, and the smag quotes it and accepts it, that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is only when Nisbashel called Sarko. So it's impossible to explain the smag based upon the Rashba. Again, the first thing we said today was the Machlokas, Rashba and Rambam. When is Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? Is it Machal Ben Drusoi Rashba? Or is it called Tzok or Rambam? So since the Truma Sedeshin is invoking within these Rishonim the Machal Ben Drusoi standard, that's a Rashba standard, but the Rambam disagrees. But the steer in the Smag. The Smag quotes this leniency by the Chuppas, even though he happens to paskin, like the Rambam, that is the din of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul and the Mevushal called Tzoko. That's the Kasha. So let me give you my answer. It's a very important answer. It's going to be the leading into the topic we're going to conclude today and discuss again next week with Siyata B'Shemayim. Then it's as follows. The Yisod of these Rishonim is like this. Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. That's the clap. By Dabalach, We say Yesh Bishul Achad Bishul. You know when? What was the famous three words again? One more time for Negli Tal. Remember them at heart? Azalei Bishulo. How do you define Azalei Bishulo? You define Azalei Bishulo when something is no longer able to be served as hot food. You have to ask the rabbis in your house what the definition is. How hot is something to be able to serve this hot food? You want to serve hot soup Friday night. Ugh! This is cold. Ooh. I would never serve this as hot soup. You all know there's a certain standard. I'm sure we have different standards in this room. We have probably 25, 30 different standards here. Everyone has his own standard. What do I can have as hot soup? When I can say, ugh, this is not hot soup at all. This is too cold. All right, I'll pick an average, etc. If it's that hot, Rabosai, it has not lost the original bishul. You cannot say about that soup, ozalei bishul. It still be consumed as hot soup. It can still be consumed as hot soup. Yeah, but even according to the smag, who holds like the Rambam, that if something was cooked only to machal ben drusoy, and now I'm cooking it now for the first time from ben drusoy till the end, I'm chayef. That's for the first time. But over here, Abosai, it already was fully cooked. Now we're going backwards. Since we're going backwards, so we can say that since it was fully cooked, the cooking process is still considered to be in place. Take a look in the Or HaZarua on page 32. It's all right. Take that back. It's a different quotation. This Or HaZarua can be found, you can't find it, in your Dark Emotion, page 111. That's what you'll find. Uva Or HaZarua, here it is. Towards the end of page 111. Everyone see it? He's talking about his Rebbe's house. Pomem miskarim hacholent. Look at this. Cholent is an old word. Look at this. Cholent. The Valdik. Shalahem uva Shabbos kodem ha'ochel madlikin avodem eish samach l'kederos. Kveshi yischam ha'ubetov. V'yesh ha'misalkin osa. V'nos n'osam samach l'eish. U'mefarshim l'heter. Men she'ein lochosh l'osram. D'mistoma chamin Hain Ktsas Korov Liyad Sol Ladisvo. Ukshemosifim Lehem Cho Mutter Sharegam Bishul Ein Bahen. What's he saying? What do you mean Bishul Ein Bahen? He means to say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. This is the same Shita that we saw in the Truman Sadesh from the Mordechai and Agos Maimini in the Truman. Korov Liyad Sol Ladis is Nechel Machmas Chamimuso. It can't pass as hot soup or hot cholent. It's all the same story. Tumas Hadeshin is talking about the Avodim and the Chuppas, and the Or HaZarua is talking about the same kind of thing. The Chuppas, Shergilim, they're all talking about the same story. Obviously, we're talking about the exact same case. What do you see, Rabosai? The Pashup Shat, if I'm right, we'll have to end with this, I don't want to go too much past the time, but then if Shat and the Ramah is correct, some very amazing things will emerge. Number one, I'm sorry to say the real chumras. Sorry. Number one, that the definition by Davalach of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is split to Nitzdanein and Lo Nitzdanein. Number two, the definition of Lo Nitzdanein is hot enough to be served as hot food, not just above room temperature. No. Hot enough to serve as hot food, which is according to the Or HaZarua close to Yatzal Lettuce. We'll discuss next time what is Yatzal Lettuce Bo. And number three, if you sink beneath this core of the Yatzal Lettuce Bo threshold, which is edible as hot food, guess what? You're running afoul of a possibility of an Issa Dorais. This is how I read the Ramah. The Mogen Avraham said so, the Farish. It's a Shabbat Doraisa. At least in the case where it's fully cooled down, it's not on the garment. We have shown a number of Rishonim who seem to indicate that once it can no longer pass as hot soup, it's considered to be cooled down the garment. We use the sort of expression, Av Malacha. All indications so far point in this direction that according to the Ramos compromise, if you sink beneath his rigorous definition of this, of the understanding of the Gamri, namely, cannot pass his Hatsup, you run into a potential problem of the Doraisa. That's a Chumrah on many different levels. And the reason I'm saying it to you, and I'm saying it to you first, I think it happens to be the truth based upon these sources. I have to tell you that for decades, I didn't think this way. Why? Because I was a good Jew. What does a good Jew do? Mitzvah l'shmo, divrei chacham. I looked at all the svarim that came out of the recent Chachmei Yisrael of the 20th century, and I think Kulam Ke'echot said, no, according to the Ramah, it's only a problem, but the Rabbanon, and many had a different definition of the cutoff point, as long as it's a little bit hot, above room temperature. That's what I saw, that's what many of these recent books and svarim will say. So I just took it at face value. Who am I to argue with them? But upon further study, I came up with two chumras. I apologize for them, because I'm going to try to give you as many coolers as I can in these few weeks. But, you know, yeah, if you have to be honest, if you're not honest, then no cooler counts. So I have to apologize to ending the shiur with two chumras. One, that you're taking a chance at a Doraisa, not at only the Rabbona. And number two, the threshold is pretty high, not just above room temperature. It has to be hot enough that it can be served as hot. Now, I'll deputize everybody in the shiur room to come back next Thursday and let me know how hot is hot that you would serve it as hot soup. If you can figure out with a thermometer, you know, they have these food thermometers, ask a caterer. And both say, I have a good friend who's a caterer. I asked him. I said, how hot would the soup have to be for you to serve? I'm sure he has fashless too. You know, it doesn't work out. It takes too long to get from the kitchen to the room and it's cooling down. For you to serve it as hot, how it has to be. His standard may be different than my wife's standard. It probably is. I mean, the big bucks that he's getting. I imagine he has a higher standard. So whose standard should we use? The caterer standard, the balabasta standard? I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe Rabbi Stone has an answer for that question. But before Rabbi Stone gives his answer, we have to get the facts. So I'm deputizing everyone to gather the facts. How hot is hot when it comes to soup? Maybe it's different for soup, or different for tea, or different for chalta, which also all three have liquids in them. So I'd like you to give me that information before next week's shiur, so we can then proceed accordingly. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos. That's Machaber. We are Ashkenaz. Or both. Are there any Sfarim in this room? There you go. I want to preface. I'm talking primarily Ashkenazi halacha. We will mention Sfarim halacha, of course, here and there. I'm just saying that we're primarily Ashkenazi here. Okay. Apologize for that too.
If a Goyish chef comes to my house and cooks chicken soup, and then I put it away in the refrigerator and I reheat it, so does it lose the Shem Bishul Akron because it became cold chicken soup in the middle? Pardon?
I don't think so.
Why not? Azalei Bishul.
That's a good question. The answer is that maybe not. That's a good question. You want to ask?
Go ahead and cook chicken soup. You put it in the fridge and you reheat it. Should we say there's no piece of fish or not? I thought it's still us. My first response is us. He wants to know. How's the fish or
not?
I said it's right. Okay, but that's good.
Good, huh?
Actually, the way I would start with that last question is,
I'm sorry I came. Because
mine
was cut off the press. Came from production.
Yes,
you
want to take a 10
in the box.
It's like.